From Jakarta, here is the Voice of Indonesia with English program. Presenting news, information, and entertainment from Indonesia. You can listen our broadcast and online streaming, voanews.id. Hello listener, how are you? I'm Stefanus, will be in here with you for the next 60 minutes. We will present various programs for you, like the news, commentary, light info, and also pop songs from Indonesia. And listener, we will have first the news, so stay tuned with us in Voice of Indonesia, from Indonesia for the world, on the frequencies of 3325 kilohertz and voanews.id.
Listener, here's the news. First, the headlines. President Joko Widodo accepts Tony Blair's offer to promote Nusantara. Government is preparing four scenarios for state apparatus moving into the new capital city. And here is the news in detail, read by Steve. President Joko Widodo has received a statement of readiness from former British Prime Minister Tony Blair, expressing his willingness to assist in promoting the new state capital Nusantara to the global community. As reported by Antara, Coordinating Minister for Maritime Affairs and Investment, Luhut Binsar Panjaitan, affirmed that Blair made the statement during a meeting with President Joko Widodo at Merdeka Palace in Jakarta on Wednesday. According to an official statement issued by the Press Bureau of the Presidential Secretariat, Minister Luhut was also present at the meeting. During the meeting, Blair also suggested some promotional strategies that the government could use. Blair further said that the government could promote the new state capital by offering opportunities for investment to other countries such as the United Arab Emirates and China, as well as a number of companies in the Asian region. The government is preparing four scenarios for moving the state apparatus to the capital city Nusantara. This was affirmed by the Minister of State Apparatus Empowerment and Bureaucratic Reform, Abdullah Azwar Anas, at the Presidential Palace in Jakarta on Wednesday, as reported by Antara. He also further conveyed that there are four scenarios, because services related to business can still be in Jakarta, but the policy support function will stay in the new capital city in Nusantara, East Kalimantan. As part of the move, 2,000 state apparatus will be relocated to Nusantara in the first phase, around 5,700 in the second, 60,000 in the third, and 100,000 in the fourth stage. The transfers of civil apparatus to IKN, or the new capital city, will be carried out in 2024 after considering the number of selected new state apparatus and the progress of support system development in the new capital city, such as spatial planning, availability of offices, and priorities in government affairs. The governor of Bank Indonesia, Peri Warjio, estimates that national economic growth will reach 5.2% in 2022, supported by export and domestic consumption that ought to be maintained going forward. Meanwhile, in 2023, he estimated that economic growth can reach 4.6 to 5.3% or higher than the global economy that is estimated to grow 2.6%. At a webinar, National Economic Recovery, held by Indonesian House of Representatives in Jakarta on Wednesday, he stated that Indonesian economic growth is higher than that of the world, even higher than other developing countries. Of course, Indonesia must encourage exports, carry out downstreaming, and strengthen people's economy. The G20 Bali Summit, scheduled to be held in November, is hoped to see the declaration of sustainable use of the world's biodiversity for a blue and green economy. The declaration will be made at the ministerial level through the G20 Research and Innovation Initiative Gathering, or RIIG, site event. This was pointed out by our IIG chairperson and Prince Deputy for Research and Innovation Facilitation, Agus Haryono, in a virtual press conference at B.J. Habibie headquarters on Wednesday, as reported by Tempo.co. He further said it is hoped that on October 28th, a ministerial-level declaration will be agreed on the sustainable use of biodiversity for the green and blue economy. He added that RIIG 2022 has held a series of meetings since last April and focused on discussing two main topics. The first is to increase and strengthen research collaboration between G20 members and sharing resources. Russian President Vladimir Putin signed a law on Wednesday introducing martial law in four Ukrainian regions the Kremlin claims to have annexed in violation of international law, along with a separate order imposing restrictions on movement in and out of eight Russian regions adjoining Ukraine. As reported by CNN.com, the regions are Kherson, Zaporizhia, Donetsk, and Luhansk. Russia doesn't control the entirety of those regions and is in a hasty retreat in Kherson after Ukrainian forces regained territory there. Ukraine's foreign ministry has condemned the decree as a new state of terror aimed to suppress the resistance of those regions' residents. Russia on Wednesday warned the United Nations not to probe alleged strike by Iranian-made drones in Ukraine, joining Tehran in denying the weapons' origin as the European Union prepared new sanctions. As reported by ChannelNewsAsia.com, the United States, France and Britain called a closed-door Security Council meeting on the alleged sale of drones to Russia, which they described as a violation of United Nations arms restriction on Iran. The European Union and United States both said that they have the evidence that Iran supplied the Shahed 136 low-cost drones that explode on landing and are blamed for five deaths on Monday in the capital Kyiv, as well as for the destruction of civilian infrastructure. Malaysia's Election Commission will have a special meeting at 10 a.m. on Thursday to discuss and set important dates for the 15th general election. As reported by Channel News Asia, the meeting will be chaired by Commission Chairman Abdul Ghani Saleh and held at Menara SPR in Putrajaya. The dates for nomination, early voting and polling days, as well as the issuing of election writ and the electoral roll, are expected to be announced on Thursday at noon after the meeting. Listener, that was the news from Voice of Indonesia, from Indonesia to the world.
Today's Diplomatic Corner highlights: Indonesian Embassy provides employment services for migrant workers in Brunei. The Indonesian Embassy in Bandar Seri Begawan held an integrated employment and consular service activity for Indonesian migrant workers in Kuala Belait, Brunei Darussalam from 15 to 16 October 2022. The Indonesian Embassy in Bandar Seri Begawan in the statement stated that Indonesian migrant workers welcome this pick-up service for various needs, including making passports, making various certificates, and employment consultations. As part of the integrated service activities, the Indonesian Embassy also disseminates customs facility service rules for goods of Indonesian citizens to be sent to Indonesia. Indonesian Ambassador to Brunei Darussalam, Sujat Miko, stated that the integrated employment and consular services, as well as dissemination of customs regulations, are an attempt by the state to assist Indonesian citizens who need services in this field. This policy also provides an understanding of the rules of customs facilities for Indonesian citizens, especially migrant workers who have finished their work contract and will return with their goods. It is hoped that Indonesian citizens, especially migrant workers, can avoid mistakes and difficulties which can harm themselves. The socialization of customs facilities was held in collaboration with the Indonesian Embassy in Bandar Seri Begawan, with the Indonesian Embassy in Singapore, particularly the Indonesian Financial Attaché and the Economic Function of the Indonesian Embassy in Singapore. The Indonesian Financial Attaché in Singapore, Denny Suryantoro, on the occasion of customs socialization, conveyed that requirements for registering an international mobile equipment identity or IMEI for mobile phones, computers, and tablets, which were purchased overseas and intended to be used in Indonesia, had to be processed. In addition, there is also an explanation of the condition for moving goods that will be brought home by Indonesian citizens from abroad so that they are free from customs. Denny also reminded the Indonesian citizens participating in the activity about the potential risk of receiving goods entrusted to them to take back to Indonesia. He mentioned several cases of Indonesian citizens who were arrested because the items they were carrying contained drugs. Therefore, to avoid this problem, Indonesian citizens must be very careful if someone wants to leave their luggage. That's Diplomatic Corner.
Cegah penularan berantai virus COVID-19 dengan memakai masker secara benar. Maskerku melindungimu, maskermu melindungiku.
Masku wo chakuyou shite COVID-19 no kansen kakudai wo fusegimashou. Watashi no masku wa anata wo mamoru. Anata no masku wa watashi wo mamotte kureru.
Waqaw intiqal virus COVID-19 min khilal irtida'il aqni'ah bi shaklin sahih. Qana'i yahmikum wa qana'ukum yahmi.
让正确佩戴口罩，以防止新型冠状病毒肺炎的传播。我的口罩保护你，你的口罩保护我。Evite
la difusión del coronavirus. Cortar la cadena de transmisión usando máscaras correctamente. Mi máscara te protege, tu máscara me protege.
Forgo the getting over bragging van COVID-19 door een masker te dragen. Mijn masker beschermt u, uw masker beschermt mij.
Empêchons la propagation du coronavirus COVID-19 en portant correctement les masques. Mon masque te protège, ton masque me protège.
Verhindern Sie die Übertragungskette des COVID-19 Virus durch richtiges Tragen von Masken. Meine Maske schützt dich, deine Maske schützt mich.
Prevent the chain of COVID-19 spread by wearing your mask properly. Your mask protect me, my mask will protect you.
Listener, we begin Today in History with the event on October 20, 1991, when earthquake occurred in Uttarkashi. On October 20, 1991, an earthquake with a magnitude of 6.8 occurred in the region of Uttarkashi and Garhwal in the state of Uttarakhand in India. The quake left more than 1,000 people dead and more than 1,300 injured. More than 42,000 buildings were damaged and destroyed. The material loss caused by the earthquake was estimated at around $60 million. We move to the event on October 20th about World Osteoporosis Day. Commemoration of World Osteoporosis Day was first launched on October 20, 1996 by the United Kingdom's National Osteoporosis Society and subsequently organized by the International Osteoporosis Foundation. World Osteoporosis Day aims to raise global public awareness about the prevention, diagnosis and treatment of osteoporosis or bone loss disease at an early age. We end today in history with the event on 20th October 2014 when Joko Widodo was inaugurated as president. Joko Widodo was inaugurated as the 7th president of Indonesia at the House of Representatives or People's Consultative Assemblies building in Jakarta on October 20, 2014. This event marked the official start of Joko Widodo's first term as president and Yusuf Kalla's second term as vice president of Indonesia. Both were inaugurated after winning the presidential election on 9th July 2014. Joko Widodo served as president of the Republic of Indonesia from 2014 until 2019. Previously, Joko Widodo served as governor of Jakarta and mayor of Solo. He was re-elected as president of the Republic of Indonesia for the period 2019 until 2024, accompanied by his vice president Ma'ruf Amin. Well, listener, that was Today in History, read by Ahmad Faisal.
Ini cerita ketika tulang mulai menua, masih mungkin ada hasrat yang menggebu-gebu, berkumpul dan bernyanyi seperti dulu. Wajah tampanku keriput dan badanku membungkuk, rasa ingin tak percaya, kini ku menua, tak menggoda layaknya saat muda. Lemah dan tanpa tenaga, mulai wajah tampanku keriput dan badanku membungkuk. Rasa ingin tak percaya, kini ku telah menua. Tak menggoda layaknya saat muda.
Listener, you're still with us in the Voice of Indonesia, from Indonesia for the world, on 3325 kHz and voinews.id. Next, we are going to present to you My Indonesia.
Voice of Indonesia.
Listener, today's My Indonesia highlights the 10th World Water Forum in Bali 2024. Minister of Public Works and Housing Basuki Hadi Mulyono and Governor of Bali Wayan Koster signed a working agreement to mark Indonesia as the host for the 10th World Water Forum, or WWF, in Bali 2024. Minister Basuki, in statement in Denpasar on Tuesday, expressed his gratitude because Bali was chosen to host the 10th WWF, defeating Italy. Bali was elected in a voting in Dakar, Senegal, on March 19. Indonesia gained 30 of 36 votes from the World Water Council's Board of Governors World Water Council. Meanwhile, Governor Wayan Koster thanked the WWF Council President Loy Vakon because Bali is entrusted to host the Bali. Governor Wayan Koster further mentioned that Bali was awarded as the best resort destination in Asia. Even some places in Bali were named as a World Heritage by UNESCO, such as Subak Catur, Angga Batu Karu Landscape, Taman Ayun Temple, Ulun Danu Batur Temple, and Subak Pakerisan Landscape. In the online meeting, the Bali governor recommended the 10th WWF to be held on May 18th until 24th, 2024. The opening is to be set on May 18th in conjunction with the Rahina Tumpak Uye, a Hindunese day to honor the water. He further stated that the G20 summit and other international forums have proven that Bali can host big events. He also added, as a developing country, Indonesia is committed to overcoming the challenges about water and to raise awareness and global action to solve those water challenges and disasters. The WWF 2024 is planned to be held in Bali Nusa Dua Convention Center in Badung Denpasar. Well, listener, that was My Indonesia.
You are still with us in Voice of Indonesia, from Indonesia for the world, on 3325 kHz and voinews.id. Listener, next we are going to invite you to visit various places of Indonesia to know about its tourism objects or some local wisdom that we have only on Indonesian Wonder.
Listeners, Ugar Tourism Village in Kokas District, Fakfak Regency, West Papua, has successfully entered one of the top 50 tourisms of the 2022 Indonesian Tourism Village Award. This tourism village has marine tourism potential and presents a blend of landscapes, clusters of small islands, blue skies, and tropical rainforests. Minister of Tourism and Creative Economy, Head of the Tourism and Creative Economy Agency, Sandiaga Salahuddin Uno, said that Ugar Tourism Village has a charming water and land area, as well as white sandy beach with coconut trees lined on the banks. From its appearance, these islands are similar to a group of islands such as in Raja Ampat, with various small islands around it in the form of Karts Islands. The small islands that stretch to form the Ugar Archipelago also have archaeological traces in the form of prehistoric paintings on the walls of Karts Cliffs. The population in Ugar Village is predominantly Muslims. The settlement elongates on the village road with an icon of domed mosque. Most of the residents of Ugar Village work as fishermen. Around Ugar Village, there is also the oldest historic mosque located on the Papua Peninsula, the Patimbrak Old Mosque. This mosque is one of the historical relics of Islam in Papua and is one of the centers of Islam in the region. Uniquely, the community still continues to maintain the mosque architecture in the form of a combination of church and mosque forms. This combination is seen as a manifestation of the strong tolerance between religions in Fakfak Regency. To visit Ugar Tourism Village, someone can do many kinds of tourism activities, such as fishing, diving, snorkeling, observing endemic animals, and going down the Madawin Cave. You can also try a variety of special culinary delights such as snapperfish in yellow sauce, tagas-tagas, stir-fried kangkung, bamboo grilled chicken, lontar cake, nutmeg syrup, and grilled coconut rice. That's Indonesian Wonder.
Monopoli yang punya banyak cara untuk bisa kusinggahi. Kau terus merayuku untuk buka kartu kesempatan, dan kau harap bisa mengajakku keliling dunia. Namun pemain dadu kan hanyalah aku, kau biarkan mereka leluasa untuk singgahimu. Tanpa sadar ku dapatkan 3 angka dadu sama.
Begitu teganya kau biarkan aku terpenjara.
Thank you. You're still with us in the Voice of Indonesia from Indonesia for the world on 3325 kHz and voinews.id.
Miscellany for today highlights festivals, archive, exhibitions, and herbal meetings. Listeners, the National Archive of the Republic of Indonesia, in collaboration with the Ministry of Tourism and Creative Economy, the Jakarta Provincial Tourism and Creative Economy Office, PT Putri Nilam Puspitasari, and the Association of Indonesian Herbal Medicine Entrepreneurs, held a festival, archive exhibition, and herbal workshop with the theme Development of Traditional Indonesian Medicinal Plants. The event was opened by Minister of Tourism and Creative Economy Sandiaga Uno last Tuesday, which was held online and offline in Jakarta. The festival, archive exhibition, and herbal medicine workshop are part of the implementation of President Joko Widodo's policy declaration in November 2021 regarding Indonesia Spice Up the World. According to Minister Sandiaga Uno, herbal medicine is part of the Indonesia Spice Up the World program, reglobalizing Indonesian cuisine and its spices. Minister Sandiaga Uno further stated that the festival, archive exhibition, and herbal medicine workshop could be an effort to help disseminate local cultural values and micro, small, and medium enterprises for herbal medicine marketing both nationally and internationally. In addition, it is also a form of support for historical archive and the marketing of MSMEs, especially those engaged in the herbal medicine business, and it has the potential to increase employment opportunities for the wider community. Meanwhile, Head of the National Archive of the Republic of Indonesia, Imam Gunarto, said that as an institution to preserve the nation's collective memory, the National Archive also keeps archives that record information about herbs, spices, and traditional medicinal plants of the archipelago. This archive can provide knowledge to the public about the origins of herbal medicine as an alternative medicine. The archival exhibition of Indonesian herbs and medicinal plants displays 32 photo archive and 10 photos, as well as writing from newspapers during the Dutch East Indies colonial period. This exhibition is also one of the efforts to use archive in educating the nation's life through learning about local cultural values in Indonesia. The exhibition of archival treasure of Indonesian herbs and medicinal plants is held at the National Archive Building in Jakarta from 11 October to 11 November 2022 and can be visited by the public for free while still implementing health protocols. The archive exhibition is also part of archival branding and herbal medicine to raise public awareness and knowledge of the documentary cultural heritage and spices of the archipelago. The workshop on the development of archipelago traditional medicinal plants was broadcast live through the Indonesian National Archive YouTube account channel on October 11. That's Miss Seleni.
Dalam jiwa.
Cegah penularan berantai virus COVID-19 dengan memakai masker secara benar. Maskerku melindungimu, maskermu melindungiku.
Masku ochaku yo shite COVID-19 no kansen kakudai o fusegi masho. Watashi no masku wa anata wo mamoru. Anata no masku wa watashi wo mamotte kureru.
Waqaw intiqal virus COVID-19 min khilal irtida'il aqni'ah bi shaklin sahih. Qana'i yahmikum wa qana'ukum yahmini.
Rang zheng que pei tai kou zhao, yi fang qi xin xing guang zhuang bing du fei yan de chuan bo. Wo de kou zhao bao hu ni, yi de kou zhao bao hu wo.
Evite la difusión del coronavirus, cortar la cadena de transmisión usando máscaras correctamente. Mi máscara te protege, tu máscara me protege.
Forco, de getting over bragging van COVID-19 door een masker te dragen. Mijn masker beschermt u, uw masker beschermt mij.
Empêchons la propagation du coronavirus COVID-19 en portant correctement les masques. Mon masque te protège, ton masque me protège.
Verhindern Sie die Übertragungskette des COVID-19 Virus durch richtiges Tragen von Maske. Meine Maske schützt dich, deine Maske schützt mich.
Prevent the chain of COVID-19 spread by wearing your mask properly. Your mask protect me, my mask will protect you.
Listener, you're still with us in the Voice of Indonesia, from Indonesia for the world. Next, we are going to present to you the music corner, so stay tuned.
Voice of Indonesia.
Hello, listener. Now we'll be listening to a song of a legendary female rock singer in Indonesia, Nicky Astria. One of the most popular hits from Nicky Astria from the 1980s with Misteri Cinta, or The Love Mystery, or The Mystery of Love. Just take your pick, by the way. The arrangement was made by some musicians in Indonesia, such as Ian Antono. And with the nice music composition and the vocal of Nicky Astria that is very strong, making the song is very timeless. People still like it until today, by the way. But what about the meaning? The song is about someone who has given up their life to their ones that they love, but sadly, their lover betrayed them and backstabbed them, which is quite tragic, isn't it? Well then, here is Misteri Cinta by Nicky Astria.
Walau dia beri menyalipku. pantai ini.
Voice of Indonesia.
Thank you very much for you who have been joining us in the English service from Voice of Indonesia. We are expecting any opinion from you, so feel free to send it to our Facebook fan page, The Voice of Indonesia. The Voice of Indonesia, Instagram voice.of.indonesia, Twitter @voiindonesia, and also you can send it to our email voi@voinews.id. We hope that your opinion will help us to bring you better information about Indonesia. Well, the listener, make sure that you will stay tuned with us, Voice of Indonesia, from Indonesia to the world.